بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله مكتبة الموحدين بالبحر الكاريبي يا سادة التقديم الشيخ علي الوصيفي حفظه الله ورعاه في سلسلة دروس كنوز وفوائد في شهر رمضان، واليوم بإذن الله تعالى يكون الدرس الخامس في هذه السلسلة يوم الاثنين الموافق السابع من رمضان 1442 هجري الموافق 19 من أبريل 2021 ميلادي. Muhaddin Publications is pleased to announce a continuation of the classes on treasures and benefits in the month of Ramadan with Sheikh Ali حفظه الله ورعاه. And today, بإذن الله تعالى, will be class number 5 on the day of Monday, the 7th of Ramadan, 1442 Hijri, corresponding to the 19th of April 2021 ميلادي. فليتفضل دكتورا مأجورا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. أما بعد، فأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه. وبعد، فإن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جعل من أسباب العفو والمغفرة قيام شهر رمضان. قيام شهر رمضان قد ورد في حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه، ومن قام ليلة القدر غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. القيام هو طول القنوت والركوع والسجود والتسبيح والتهليل لله سبحانه وتعالى. قال عز وجل في كتابه الكريم: أمن هو قانت آناء الليل ساجدا وقائما يحذر الآخرة ويرجو رحمة ربه قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون. فبين الله عز وجل أن القنوت هو القيام والركوع والسجود، وبين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن أفضل العبادة طول القنوت. وقد أمر الله عز وجل نبيه موسى عليه السلام فقال له كما ورد في سورة طه: وأقم الصلاة لذكري. والمراد أي أقم الصلاة لتذكرني بها تسبيحا وتهليلا وتعظيما، وأقم الصلاة لي، فصلي لربك كما قال النبي: فصلي لربك وانحر. وكما أن الصلاة لا تكون إلا لله عز وجل، فكذلك الذبح لا يكون إلا لله سبحانه وتعالى. وإذا كانت العبادات أو ذكر العبادة التي لا يكون إلا لله، فإن ذكر المسألة أيضا لا يكون إلا لله سبحانه وتعالى. ولذلك جمع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بين ذكر العبادة وذكر السؤال، فكان دائما يسبح الله سبحانه وتعالى ويحمد الله عز وجل ويكبر ويهلل في الصلاة وعقب كل صلاة، وفي الحج وفي الصيام وفي الدخول وفي الخروج، وفي سائر أحيانه كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأحواله كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يذكر الله عز وجل. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يذكر الله على كل حاله، ولا يمنعه مانع من ذكر الله عز وجل إلا أن يدخل الخلاء، إلا أن يدخل الخلاء. فكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يذكر الله دائما. فالقنوت هو طول العبادة، وأعظم القنوت القنوت هو طول العبادة، هو المداومة على العبادة. وأعظم القنوت هو تسبيح الله سبحانه وتعالى وتهليل الله عز وجل وتعظيم الله سبحانه وتعالى بالركوع والسجود والقيام، يعني بتلاوة القرآن وبالتسبيح وتنزيه الله عز وجل عن المعايب والنقائص وإثبات الكمال المطلق لله سبحانه وتعالى بحمده. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إذا ركع: سبحانك اللهم ربنا وبحمدك اللهم اغفر لي. وكان يسجد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: سبحان ربي الأعلى. وفي هذا جعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نفسه كما نظر إلى العالم كله وهو على بساط الذل لله رب العالمين العلي القهار سبحانه وتعالى، العلي في دنوه والقريب في علوه سبحانه وتعالى، فهو فوق العرش وهو أقرب إلى أحدكم من عنق راحلته. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رغب مع الصيام بطول القنوت والعبادة والتراويح، صلاة التراويح. ولذلك فإن النبي وكما ورد عنه وفي الآثار أن الله عز وجل فرض علينا الصيام، وأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سن لنا القيام. هذه مقدمة ضرورية للحديث الذي نريد أن نتكلم عنه في هذا اليوم المبارك، وهو وفيه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: إنه من قام مع الإمام حتى ينصرف كتب له قيام ليلة. هذا هو الحديث الذي سنتكلم عنه بمشيئة الله تبارك وتعالى. تفضل
شيخ الوصيف حفظه الله. started by saying بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Thereafter, or rather, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. We first start by praising Allah, the Lord of the worlds, for His blessings. As the Shaykh of Allah made the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma la sahla illa ma ja'altahu sahla. O Allah, nothing is easy except what you make easy. Allahumma wa anta taj'al al-hazna in shi'ta sahla. And only you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will make hardship, if you will, easy. Thereafter, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made from the reasons, from the ways and means to seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to stand up the month of Ramadan. Has been narrated in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever stand up the month of Ramadan, imanan wa ihtisaba, upon belief and upon expecting a reward only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then all of his previous sins will be forgiven. And whoever stands up the Laylatul Qadr or the Night of Power, all of his previous sins will be forgiven. The matter of Qiyam, the matter of standing up, as we refer to it in English. Qiyam, as the Shaykh put it, is an agent for Qunut, for making the dua and the salah. It's also an agent for long ruku', long sujood, tasbih, saying subhanallah, tahmeed, saying alhamdulillah, and tahleel, saying la ilaha illallah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the ayat, and you can find those ayat in Surah Az-Zumur, verse 9, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what it means is one who is obedient to Allah, prostrating himself or standing in prayer during the hours of the night, fearing the hereafter, and hoping for the mercy of his Lord, like the one who disbelieves. Say, O Muhammad, are those who know equal to those who not know? Are those who know equal to those who know not? It is only men of understanding who will remember. That is, to get a lesson from Allah's signs and virtues. The Shaykh of Allah continued and said, and here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us that the matter of qunut, matter of making the dua while you're standing up in the salah. Matter of qiyam itself, standing up in the salah, matter of ruku' and sujood. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, or rather the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself told us that the best of worship is having long qunut, long supplication to Allah in the prayer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that about his prophet Musa or Moses alayhi salam, in which he ordered the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he ordered the Prophet Musa or Moses and told him in the Quran, and established the salah for my remembrance. Meaning, be upon salah, O Musa, so you would remember me with that salah in the form, as the Sheikh said earlier, tasbih, tahmid, tahleel, and so on. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was told, as we know in the ayat, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. So pray to your Lord, O Muhammad, and slaughter, sacrifice animals. So we learn from this ayat, just as the salah is not permissible except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so is the case of sacrifice is only permissible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's actually the case of all of the actions of worship, as well as all of the remembrance of worship. It can only be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, it cannot be for other than Allah. Also, the case of asking can only be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you cannot be called in other than Allah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered between the remembrance of worship and the remembrance of asking, dhikr al-ibadah and dhikr al-su'al. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered between the remembrance of worship and the remembrance of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he, meaning the Prophet alayhi wa sallam, used to say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, in every condition, in every circumstance, whether that is in the salah, in the prayer, or the hajj, the pilgrimage, or siyam, fasting, or before you enter a place, or after you come out of a place, in all of his affairs, the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam would remember and mention Allah upon every condition. And nothing would prevent the Prophet of Allah from remembering Allah except when it comes to being in the bathroom, except when it comes to entering the bathroom or going to use the toilet. Other than that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upon constant remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now we learn matter of qunut, making the dua in the salah refers to lengthy worship or long actions of worship. It also refers to being consistent upon those actions of worship. And the greatest of qunut is to say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, in your qiyam, while you're standing up in the salah, in your ruku' and in your sujood. Of course, all of these actions is only to be worshiping Allah alone without any partners, and free all of your actions of worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, we learn that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, when he used to make ruku'ah, when he made ruku'ah, he would say the dua, subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik, Allahumma khfirli. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are above and beyond, free from any deficiency, and by your praise, by your hamd, I ask you, O Allah, to forgive me. Also, the Prophet والسلام, would say in this dude in prostration on the ground, he would say, Subhana Rabbi al A'la, as we know from the hadith and the books of the Salah. It is as if, the Sheikh is saying, that the Prophet والسلام, was looking at the whole world behind him, leaving the whole world behind him, and he's standing upon a carpet or a spread of humiliation for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High. As we
know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though He is the Most High in His Highness, is still the closest to you in His nearness. Again, Allah Al-Ali, the Most High in His Highness, is still the closest to you as a servant in His nearness. He is Al-Qarib to His creation in His nearness. He is the closest thing to you. As our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the hadith, and he is the closest to you, meaning to the Sahaba, than the neck of your riding beast. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to be in qunut for a long time in any action of worship, especially Salat al-Taraweeh. Also, we learn, just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obligated upon us the fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it a sunnah, made it an optional action for us to stand up in qiyam for Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this, as the Sheikh said, Hafidhahullah, is an introduction to the hadith that we're going to go over tonight, where the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, whoever stand up with the imam until he leaves the salah, it will be written for him as if he stood up the whole night. And that's the hadith we're going to go over tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Sheikhna.
Nah.
Inshallah, al-makrafun andukul, lo samaht, waqtam, yani kun fi tarjama, mungkin tidgat ali, yaktim s-sut andukul.
Tayyib, had.
Asan takhdu rahat.
Tayyib, had.
Bi-idhnillah. Jazakum Allah khair. Tadda, Sheikh.
طيب ابدا
تفضل يا شيخ تفضل
الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تقدم كما قلنا ان افضل العباده طول القنوت القنوت هو القيام والركوع والسجود والعلماء في هذه المسألة تكلموا في مسألة أيهما أفضل طول القيام أم كثرة الركوع والسجود فذهب الحنفية أو أتباع الحنيفة الحنفية والشافعية والمالكية وبعض الأئمة بعض الأقوال اليسيرة في مذهب الإمام أحمد أن طول القيام أفضل من كثرة الركوع والسجود و هناك قول آخر أن طول القيام وكثرة الركوع والسجود كلاهما سواء يعني في المكانة وفي الدرجة وهناك قول أن كثرة الركوع والسجود أفضل من طول القيام الذين قالوا إن طول القيام أفضل من كثرة الركوع والسجود استدلوا على ذلك بأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يصلي أو كان يقوم حتى تتورم قدماه فدل ذلك على أن طول القيام أفضل والذين قالوا إن كثرة الركوع والسجود أفضل من طول القيام احتجوا بقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن أقرب ما يكون العبد من ربه وهو ساجد فأكثروا من الدعاء وأنتم سجود إذن هذا له حجة وهؤلاء لهم حجة ودائما الخلاف الذي ينبني على دليل لا يعد خلافا وإنما هو من باب التنوع. لماذا؟ أو ليس من باب الهوى وليس من باب البدعة، لأن كلا من الفريقين احتج بدليل، فطالما أن معه نص يدل على صدق قوله فليس من أهل الأهواء أو من أهل البدع. وهناك من قال من الحنابلة وغيرهم أن طول القيام وكثرة الركوع والسجود كلاهما سواء، يعني في الفرض. والدليل على ذلك أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كما ورد في حديث حذيفة كان ركوعه قدر سجوده، يعني كان يقوم ويقرأ بالبقرة وآل عمران ويقرأ بالنساء ويركع على قدر ذلك ويرفع على قدر ذلك ويسجد على قدر ذلك، وهذا وارد في حديث حذيفة. إذن عندنا ثلاثة أحاديث. حديث يقول أو يبين أن طول القيام أفضل، وهو أنه كان يصلي حتى تورم قدماه، وحديث يبين أن طول كثرة السجود أفضل لقوله إن أقرب ما يكون العبد من ربه وهو ساجد، وحديث حذيفة أن الكل سواء لأن النبي كان قدر قيامه وركوعه وسجوده سواء، يعني كل على نسبة واحدة. العلماء تكلموا في هذه المسألة بمعنى أن المرء إذا كث أكثر من الركوع والسجود ولم يكن مطيلا للقيام فلا يعاب عليه، وإن أطال القيام وقلل من الركوع والسجود فلا يعاب عليه، وإن جعل سواء فلا ملام عليه. وهذا يدل على أن الأمر فيه سعة، وأن الأمر الخلاف في الفقه طالما أنه قائم على دليل فلا ينبغي لأحد أن يبدع أحدا أو يتهم أحدا بالهوى أو بمخالفة السنة في ذلك. تفضل يا شيخ محمد.
الشيخ علي الوسيط حفظه الله بأسين، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. As we introduced earlier and we talked about what is the best action of worship, that is طول القنوت, to be upon قنوت for a long time. And القنوت in brief is comprising of القيام, standing up, as well as ركوع and سجود. The scholars have talked in this matter and they said which one is better. In other words, there was a difference amongst the scholars which one is better. So some of the scholars, in other words, is standing up for long better, or making so much ruku' and sujood is better. So the followers of Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, as well as al-Shafi'iyya, the followers of Imam al-Shafi'i, as well as the followers of Malik, and some of the statements of those who are upon the madhab of Imam Ahmad, went to the opinion that standing up for long is better than so much ruku' and sujood. But there was another opinion. Which said that standing up for long, along with making so much ruku' and sujood, are the same and one in status and degree. And there was a third opinion that said making so much ruku' and sujood is better than standing up for long. As for those that said making qiyam or standing up for a long while is better than in the prayer, is better than making so much ruku' and sujood, they relied upon the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam,
or the mentioning of the Prophet ﷺ that he used to stand up the night for so long until his feet would swell, until his feet ﷺ would swell up. So that indicated that standing up for long is best. That's the first opinion. As for those that said making so much ruku' or sujood is better than making or standing up for long or making so much qiyam, they use the proof from the statement of the Prophet of Allah alayhi wasalam, in which he said that the closest servant of Allah is close to his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala while he or she is in sujood, is in prostration upon the ground. So make as much dua or supplication as you are possibly can while you are in sujood, while you are prostrating. We learn from this, as the Shaykh Al-Wasif Hafdallah mentioned, that the difference between the scholars that is based upon proofs and evidence that are authentic from the sunnah is only from the way of variety. It's called the difference of variety, bab al-tanawwa. And it's not, wal-iyadu billah, from the way of whims or desires or innovations. Because both groups amongst the scholars were using authentic proofs from the sunnah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. In other words, as long as the scholar has authentic text that shows the truthfulness of his opinion, and it's not, wal-iyadu billah, a reliance upon any opinion from the people of whims or desires or people of innovations, then we can use that proof and rely upon it. As for the followers of Ahmad ibn Hanbal, al-Hanabila, and other than them, they went to the third opinion and they said, is standing up in Qiyam for long, along with making so much ruku' and sujood, are one and the same. They're both the same. And the proof they used is in the hadith of Hudhayfa radiallahu an, in which he mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his ruku' was just as long as his sujood. The ruku' of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in other words, was just as long as his sujood. So the Shaykh Hafidhahullah said, if you go back to that hadith, you'll find out that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if he stood up reciting Surah Al-Baqarah, for example, or Surah Ali Imran, or Surah Al-Nisa in full, he would make ruku' for as long as he stood up. And he would make sujood upon the same amount of time. He would make sujood for just as long. And he would stand up between ruku' and sujood for just as long. So now, as the Shaykh said, Hafidhahullah, we have three hadith with three different opinions. The first of which tells us that making longer qiyam is better than making so much ruku' and sujood. And that's based upon the fact that it was narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would stand up until his feet swell up in qiyam. Then the second opinion was making so much sujood and ruku' is better than making longer qiyam. And that's according to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the servant of Allah, or the closest, the servant would be to his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, would be in sujood, as we mentioned the whole hadith earlier. And then the third opinion states that both are one and the same, meaning longer qiyam is equal to so much ruku' and sujood, and that's relying upon the hadith of the Prophet, or the hadith of Hudhayfa radiallahu an, in which he mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ruku' was just as long as his sujood, and so on. The scholars of the sunnah spoke about this and said, if a person makes so much ruku', for example, and sujood, and did not stand up, did not make qiyam for long, there's no problem with that. And the opposite is true. If a believer makes a long qiyam and does not make so much, does not stay in ruku' and sujood for a long while, there's no harm with that either. And the third opinion, based upon this, is if the believer equates the time of his qiyam to the time of his ruku' and the time of his sujood, as well as the time of rafa, meaning the stand-up after the ruku', there's no harm upon that. And that shows us that, alhamdulillah, the matter is easy. And as long as the believer is establishing his actions of worship upon authentic proof from the sunnah, he or she can never go to declare somebody else's upon bid'ah, as long as they are doing that based upon authentic proofs from the sunnah. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Naam.
أبدأ. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما بعد، فالحديث الذي بين أيدينا اليوم هو حديث أبي هريرة رواه الترمذي وأبو داود وغيره من الأئمة، حديث صحيح وصححه الإمام الألباني رحمة الله عليه في صحيح الجامع وغيره من كتبه رحمة الله عليه. وفيه عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن أبي ذر، الحديث عن أبي ذر قال: صمنا مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فلم يصلي بنا حتى بقي سبع من الشهر، يعني بقي سبع ليال من الشهر، فقام بنا حتى ذهب ثلث الليل. قام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى يصلي بهم حتى ذهب ثلث الليل، ثم لم يقم بنا في السادسة وقام في الخامسة حتى ذهب شطر الليل. فقلنا: يا رسول الله، يبقى إذن صلى بهم ثلث الليل وصلى بهم حتى انقضى شطر الليل، يعني انقضى نصف الليل. فقلنا: يا رسول الله، الحديث عن أبي ذر رضي الله عنه، وهو يتكلم عن الصحابة رضي الله تعالى عنهم، أنهم قالوا: يا رسول الله، لو نفلتنا بقية ليلتنا هذه، يعني لو أنك أتممت الصلاة بقية الليل، يعني صليت بنا الليل كله، ولم يثبت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا عن الصحابة أنهم صلوا الليل كله، وإنما ما هو ثابت هو الوارد في سورة المزمل من قول الله تعالى: إن ربك يعلم أنك تقوم أدنى من ثلثي الليل ونصفه وثلثه وطائفة من الذين معك. يبقى هذا هو الثابت، لكن قيام الليل كله لم يكن في زمن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. فكيف يدرك المرء قيام الليل كله؟ قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إجابة على ذلك، إجابة على ذلك، لأن هذا هو مفهوم السؤال، فهو يريد أو الصحابة يريدون أخذ الأجر على قيام الليل كله. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنه من قام مع الإمام حتى ينصرف كتب له قيام ليلة. يبقى إذن هذا هو الذي فعله النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وهذا هو الحديث. قال: إنه من قام مع الإمام، يعني صلى الليل جماعة مع الإمام في المسجد حتى ينصرف الإمام، وهنا يعني ينصرف الإمام أو نائبه، لأن الإمام قد يصلي ثم يوكل أحدا ينوب عنه فيتمم بقية القيام، فهما كأنهما إمام واحد، كأنهم إمام واحد، لأن النائب ينوب عن المنيب، فكأنهما شيء واحد، يعني الوكيل والموكل كأنهما شيء واحد. فإذا انصرف الإمام يعني صلى 11 ركعة أو 13 ركعة أو 23 ركعة كما ورد في قول الإمام العثيمين والإمام ابن باز رحمة الله عليهم، أن الأجر لا يكتب حتى ينصرف الإمام، سواء صلى 11 ركعة أو صلى 13 ركعة أو صلى 23 ركعة، يعني قام مع الإمام حتى ينصرف الإمام، كتب له قيام ليلة، كتب له قيام إيه؟ ليلة. هذا الجزء معناه أنه من قام مع الإمام حتى الفراغ كتب له أجر قيام ليلة، وهذا أفضل من قيام بعض الليل. هنا يتكلم بكتابة قيام ما فات من الصلاة بالليل. قوله من قام مع الإمام فيه إشارة واستشراف لما سيكون الأمر من بعده صلى الله عليه وسلم، أن المسلمين سيصلون جماعة في المسجد، لأنه لم يقل من قام معي، وإنما قال قام مع الإمام، فدل ذلك على أن قيام الليل سيكون جماعة من بعده في المسجد، وأن قيام الليل سيكون شعارا للمسلمين، سيكون شعارا لإيه؟ للمسلمين. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خشي من المواظبة على قيام الليل ألا يفرض عليهم، لأن الذي يواظب على شيء مسنون ويحرص على أدائه ربما يصل إلى الدرجة التي يتمنى فيها أن تكتب عليه، فإذا كتبت عليه بينما أن الله لم يكتبها صارت فريضة، كما قال الله تبارك وتعالى عن أهل الكتاب ورهبانية ابتدعوها ما كتبنا عليهم إلا ابتغاء رضوان الله فما رعوها حق رعايتها. والمراد أنهم لم تفرض عليهم الرهبانية، ولكنهم رجوا فيها الأجر والثواب فكتبها الله عليهم حتى يستقيموا في رضا الله سبحانه وتعالى. فلما فرضت عليهم لم يرعوها حق رعايتها. فالنبي خشي من المواظبة وحرصهم عليها أي على قيام الليل أن تفرض عليهم، فترك قيام الليل، قام بعض الليالي ثم ترك قيام الليل وترك كل واحد يصلي بمفرده. فلما مات النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم انقضى أمر التشريع، ولم يعد هناك حق لأحد أن يفرض على الناس شيئا، فكان قيام الليل سنة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. وبعض العلماء قال أنه فريضة على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وبعض العلماء قال إنه يعني واجب على من حفظ القرآن، لكن لا، قيام الليل سنة مستحبة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، سنة مستحب. هنا نحن نتكلم في أمرين، أمر الفضل وأمر كتابة الأجر عما فات الإنسان من قيام الليل، يعني هو أدى بعض الليل مع الإمام وفاته بقية الليل، فهذه مسألة، ومسألة الفضل يعني فضل الصلاة في البيت على الصلاة في المسجد أيهما أفضل؟ فالأجر متعلق إذا صلى الرجل مع الإمام حتى ينصرف يكتب له بقية أجر الليل الذي لم يقضيه في الصلاة. ولا شك أن كتابة بقية الأجر تختلف عن كتابة من قام بالصلاة في هذا الزمن الذي ترك ولم يقضه الرجل في القيام. يعني لا شك أن الذي يقوم ويصلي أكثر له من الأجر والثواب والفضيلة أكثر من الذي يصوم أو من الذي يقوم بعض الليل. فالأفضلية هنا لمن يصلي في بيته في الوقت الذي ينزل فيه الله تبارك وتعالى إلى السماء الدنيا في ثلث الليل الأخير، هذا أفضل من الذي يصلي في أول الليل، وهو يصلي في أول الليل تيسيرا على نفسه. لكن الصلاة وقت النزول الإلهي ووقت دعاء الله لعباده، هل من داع فاستجيب له، هل من سائل فأعطيه، هل من مستغفر فأغفر له، هذا الوقت أفضل من أي وقت آخر. ولذلك العلماء تكلموا هنا في الأفضلية. لما تكلم العلماء في الأفضلية جاءوا بحديث البخاري ومسلم أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال، النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: صلوا أيها الناس في بيوتكم فإن أفضل الصلاة صلاة المرء أو المرء في بيته إلا المكتوبة. صلاة المرء في بيته أفضل، إذن صلاة الرجل في بيته أفضل من صلاته في الجماعة. لكن كتابة الأجر في الصلاة مع الجماعة توافق أو تغني الإنسان عن قيام بقية الليل. ولذلك الإمام الطحاوي رحمه الله جمع بين حديث أبي ذر الذي يتكلم أنه من صلى مع الإمام حتى ينصرف كتب له أجر ليلة، وحديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: صلوا في بيوتكم فإن أفضل الصلاة صلاة المرء في بيته إلا المكتوبة. قال الإمام الطحاوي في الجمع بين حديثين، يعني عندما تجد حديثين ظاهرهما التعارض فالجمع بينهما أولى من أخذ أحدهما وترك الآخر مع عدم وجود النسخ، مع عدم وجود النسخ. قال الإمام الطحاوي: يكتب له من الأجر بالقيام مع الإمام قنوت بقية ليلته. قنوت بقية ليلته يعني أما من صلى في بيته فهو أفضل، أما من صلى في بيته فهو أفضل. الإمام ابن بطال قال: من قام الليل منفردا، يعني إذا كان يرى أن قيام الليل منفردا أفضل من الصلاة في المسجد فلا ينبغي له أن يترك الصلاة في المسجد، لأن الصلاة في المسجد صارت من شعار الإسلام. يبقى يجب عليه أن يجمع بين الصلاة جماعة في المسجد والصلاة في بيته في آخر الليل، في آخر الليل. هذا هو الجمع الذي جمعه الأئمة الطحاوي والبيهقي والبدر العيني وغيرهم من الأئمة في الجمع بين الحديثين، حديث أبي ذر الذي فيه من صلى مع الإمام حتى انصرف كتب له أجر بقية ليلته، والحديث الآخر إن أفضل الصلاة الصلاة في البيت إلا المكتوبة. ولذلك وقلت قبل ذلك أن الإمام ابن باز رحمة الله عليه والعلامة العثيمين لما تكلموا في قوله حتى ينصرف يعني حتى ينقضي الإمام من صلاته، فإذا انقضى من صلاته يكتب له الأجر. أما إذا انصرف قبل انقضاء الإمام من صلاته فلا يكتب له الأجر ليلة كاملة. تفضل.
جزاكم الله خير.
دار الشيخ عبد الله كنت بايسين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Thereafter, the hadith that's between our hands today that we're going over is narrated actually in Sahih al-Tirmidhi. And this hadith, as well as Abi Dawood, and this hadith is authentic, is Sahih. And Imam al-Albani mentioned it in many of his books, including Sahih al-Jama. In this hadith, actually, from the way of Abi Dharr, the hadith is from the way of Abi Dharr, in which he said, we stood up with the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wassalam, meaning in prayer, in Qiyam al-Layl. So he did not pray, he did not lead us in the prayer of Qiyam al-Layl until the seventh night, until the last seven nights of the month, until the last seven nights of the month. So on one night, he stood up in prayer, or led us in standing up in the prayer, led us in the prayer until the third or a third of the night was gone. Then he did not come back to us on the last sixth night of the month. Then on the fifth, last night of the month, he came back and led us in prayer until a portion of the night was gone. Then we asked, O Messenger of Allah, pay attention to this. The Sheikh here is saying, from what we understand from the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam led the Sahaba in one night until a third of the night was over. In another night, he led them in Qiyam, and standing up the night until a portion of the night was over. And this hadith, again, from the way of Abi Dharr, and he's talking about the companions of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wassalam, may Allah be pleased with them all. Then the Sahaba asked the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said, if you were, O Messenger of Allah, to complete the salah for the rest of the night, meaning lead us in prayer for all of the night, we would have followed you. But the fact remains, as we know from the Sunnah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam, that never ever that the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam or the companions after him stood up in the whole night, stood up the whole night in prayer. But rather, what is authentic is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam, this mentioned in Surah Al-Muzzammil, in which Allah said about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily your Lord knows that you stand up less than a third of the night. Less than a third of the night. Okay. Yeah. 1 minute. No, this is not it. I was trying to find it. Sheikh, بحاول أعمل في سورة المزمل عشان الإخوة يستفيدوا.
نعم.
بحاول ألاقي الآية على بعضها عشان ترجم الإخوة من سورة المزمل. الله المستعان، سورة المزمل. نعم.
إن ربك يعلم أنك تقوم أدنى من ثلثي الليل.
نعم.
Verily your Lord knows that you do stand to pray at night a little less than two-thirds of the night or half the night or a third of the night, and so do a party of those with you till the end of the ayat. And that's in Surah Al-Muzammil verse 20. Surah Al-Muzammil verse 20. Here the Shaykh Hafidhahullah explains to us, and that is actually what is authentic about our Prophet والسلام. So how you as a believer attain the reward for standing up the whole night. Our Prophet والسلام, in asking the Sahaba in this hadith, and now we have to understand the question first. The Sahaba wanted to get the reward for standing up the whole night. This is why they were asking our Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam that question. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam answered them by saying, whoever stands up with the imam, with the one leading the salah in the masjid, in jama'ah, until the imam is done, is finished, then it will be written for him as if he stood up the whole night. We learn from this that this is what the Prophet ﷺ himself did when he, as we mentioned in the hadith, he led the prayer for a third of the night one time, then for a portion of the night another time. That whoever stand up with the imam until the imam is done, meaning prayed in qiyam, in jama'ah, in the masjid, until the imam is done, or until whoever fills in for the imam, meaning the imam started the night prayer in jama'ah, in the masjid, then he let somebody else take over after him until they finished all of that prayer. Whoever the imam, in other words, designate to fill in for him after, let's say, the first four rak'ah or the like, as may be the case in some of the masajid. In this case, the Sheikh said, Hafidhahullah, the imam, as well as the one completing the salah after him and leading the salah, both are the same. They both count as one single imam in this instance. So in your case as a believer and following the imam after the prayer is done, let's say after 11 rak'ah, in some cases after 13 rak'ah, in some cases after 23 rak'ah, as been narrated in the in the speech of Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahmatullah alayh, as well as Sheikh Ibn Baz rahmatullah rahmatullah ajma'in, then the reward will be written for you only if you stay till the end of Qiyam al-Layl, only until you finish praying behind the imam and the imam leave. That's how you get the reward of standing up the whole night. This portion of the hadith means whoever, again, stand up with the imam in prayer until the imam was done, then he will get the reward, then he will get the reward of standing up the whole night. And this, of course, is better than standing up some of the night, because we learn from the hadith again that this is the way to get the reward for standing up the whole night. So how about somebody who misses a portion of standing up the night? How about those who miss a portion of standing up the night? Before we go into that, we get some benefit regarding the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever stands up behind the imam until he leaves, this was an indication to the believers and giving a glad tidings to the believers after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after the era or the time of the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, that the Muslims will pray after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam in jama'ah, in qiyam, in the masajid. That shows us that standing up the night will be happening in the masajid after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and it will become a hallmark of the Muslims. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam feared to be consistent with standing up the night, with Qiyam al-Layl, out of fear that it may become an obligation upon him, the Prophet of Allah, or upon the Muslims after him. Because as the Sheikh said, whoever is consistent upon a particular sunnah, it may turn into an obligation upon him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the ayat about the people of the book, وَرُهْبَانِيَّةٍ ابْتَدَعُوهَا. And in this ayat, you can find in Surah Al-Hadid, verse 27, about about halfway through the ayah, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we ordained in the hearts of those who followed him compassion and mercy, but the monasticism which they invented for themselves, we did not prescribe for them, but they sought it only to please Allah therewith, but that they did not observe it with the right observance. So we gave those among them who believed their due reward, but many of them are fasiqun, are rebellious, disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's in the case of, yani, as the Sheikh mentioned, the people of the book who invented becoming a monk and the like. And that's the word monasticism, meaning become part of a monastery of some sort, wal-ayadu billah. The point here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not obligate the Christians, for example, to become monks or become part of a monastery. A monastery, or yani, be upon constant yani worship the way that they invented for themselves. But they were hoping, meaning the Christians of the time were hoping for the reward. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made an obligation upon them. And when it was made an obligation upon the Christians, they did not give it its due right, as we learn from the ayat. This is why our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam feared upon consistency in Qiyam al-Layl, so it may end up becoming an obligation upon the Muslims after him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made Qiyam al-Layl in some nights and left Qiyam al-Layl in some other nights. So when, of course, the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam passed away, when he died, then the matter of legislation and religion of Islam was completely stopped. It came to an end, meaning there was no more legislation after the death of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nobody has the rights anymore after the death of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to bring about any obligation in the religion of Allah upon anybody else. So Qiyam al-Layl became a sunnah, consequently, after the death of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Some of the scholars said, and Qiyam al-Layl actually is a must upon those who know the Quran by heart. Qiyam al-Layl is a must upon those who memorize the whole Quran by heart. But the correct opinion, as the Sheikh Abdullah said, it's a highly recommended sunnah. It's a sunnah mustahab for every believer. Now, when we come to the matter of the fadl, the superiority or the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this case, in regards to writing the reward for those who missed out on Qiyam al-Layl, the matter of the bounty or the reward of the Salah, whether you do that at home or in the masjid, what is better for you, in other words, doing this Salah, Qiyam al-Layl, at home or in the masjid? In other words, this affair deals with a man praying behind the imam until the imam is done with Qiyam al-Layl. No doubt we learn from the hadith that if you do so, you will get the whole reward as if you stood up the whole night. But that is different from a person that may do the same salah, for example, in the last third of the night. There's no doubt, as the Sheikh said, whoever does Qiyam al-Layl, whoever does more Qiyam al-Layl, more of Qiyam al-Layl, or pray more, then he will get more reward than the person, for example, that is stand up for only a portion of the night or some of the night. The preference here, or the yani, the superiority in the reward is actually for the one that prays in his house in the last third of the night. That is better from a person who prays, for example, in the beginning of the night. And those who pray in the beginning of the night or do Qiyam al-Layl in the beginning of the night, of course, they trying to take the easy way out, if you want to call it that, trying to lighten the load upon themselves. Because we know from the hadith that the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends is in the last third of the night, in which, as we learn from the hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be asking, is there somebody supplicating? So I would ask, answer him. If somebody would is asking for something of this dunya or the hereafter, so I would yani fulfill his question. If somebody seeking forgiveness, so I would forgive him to the end of the hadith, as we know it. So we learned that the last third of the night is better than any other time to stand up or to do Qiyam al-Layl. This is why the scholars talked about this issue. And they brought forward the hadith that's mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari as well as Sahih Muslim, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O people, pray in your homes, because the best of the prayer, meaning the optional prayer, of course, is the prayer of the believer in his house, except for the obligatory prayer, or except for the obligations in the prayer. But when it comes to the reward regarding that Qiyam al-Layl, regarding that Salah, and regarding praying in Jama'ah, كتابة الأجر من الصلاة والجماعة تبني عن قيام بقية الليل. But again, yeah, as we mentioned earlier, the writing of the reward in the prayer in جماعة, doing قيام الليل in جماعة, behind the imam until the imam is finished, will equal standing up the whole night. How we can gather between the two opinions? If you look at the Imam al-Tahawi, for example, regarding the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever prays with the Imam until the Imam is done with Qiyam al-Layl, then he will get the reward of standing up the whole night. And then you look at the other hadith that we mentioned earlier, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he commands the believer and he says, pray in your homes, because the best of the prayer is the prayer of the believer in his house, except for the obligatory prayer, or the compulsory prayer. How can you gather between the two hadith here? In other words, when you find what may sound like a contradiction to you as a believer, when you're reading two different hadith, it's always best to gather between the two of them, as long as you know that one hadith did not abrogate the other hadith, that naskh did not happen. As long as there's no abrogation between the two hadith. Imam al-Tahawi, along with other scholars, said, the one that prays behind the imam until the imam is finished in Qiyam will get the reward of standing up the whole night. But also we learn, whoever prays in his house, the last third of the night would be best. Al-Imam al-Battal said, whoever stand up the night alone, whoever does Qiyam al-Layl alone, is better than praying in Jama'ah Qiyam al-Layl in the Masjid. So it's a must upon the believer not to leave. Pay attention to this. It's a must upon the believer to pray in jama'ah, qiyam al-layl, because that became a hallmark of this religion amongst the Muslims. So it's a must upon you as a believer to gather between salat al-jama'ah in qiyam al-layl in the masjid and salat al-qiyam in the last third of the night. That is what we call gathering between the evidence or gathering between two hadith, just as the scholars of the Sunnah have done so, the likes of al-Tahawi, al-Bayhaqi, and al-Badr al-Ayni have agreed upon that. Also from the hadith of Abi Dharr that we mentioned in the beginning, whoever prays with the imam until the imam is finished with Qiyam al-Layl, then he will get the reward of standing up the whole night. And the other hadith that the best of the salah is the prayer of the person in his house, except the one that is an obligation upon him in the five daily salah in the masjid. As the Sheikh said, and before that we mentioned the opinion of Al-Imam Ibn Baz rahimahullah, as well as Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahumullah, in regards to you must finish Qiyam al-Layl behind the Imam in the masjid to get the full reward of that night. As for those who leave before it's over. Sheikhna, شيخ علي معانا؟
نعم إن شاء الله. أبدأ.
نعم سمحني يا شيخ أنا بس فات علي نقطة هنا في الآخر سبحان الله اللي هي بعد قول ابن باز رحمه الله وابن عثيمين حتى ينقضي الإمام من صلاته فإنه يكتب له الأجر كأنه قام الليل كله. أما إذا انصرف قبل انقضاء الإمام إيه اللي المفروض يعمله؟
فلا يكتب له أجر ليلة كاملة.
Okay, and just to complete what I missed here, subhanAllah, for some reason I did not write that last line. As for those who leave before the Imam is finished with Qiyam al-Layl in the masjid, then they will not get the full reward of standing up the whole night. Now, تفضل يا شيخنا سمح.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. أما بعد فبمشيئة الله تبارك وتعالى يتبقى عندنا أن نتكلم عن عدد الركعات في صلاة الليل في رمضان واختلاف العلماء في ذلك، ونتكلم أيضا فيما ورد عن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه وعما ورد عن أهل المدينة وعن بعض أهل العلم في هذه المسألة، وسنرد على الخلاف الوارد بين الحديث الظاهر لنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه حديث عائشة أنه كان لا يزيد عن 13 ركعة أو 11 ركعة في رمضان، وقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة الليل مسنى مسنى، وقول وفعل أهل المدينة وسائر الصحابة والمسلمين في الزيادة عن ذلك وفض النزاع فيه وبيان ما ينبغي عليه الأمر في هذه المسائل التي يختلف فيها بعض الناس دائما في رمضان. هذا وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
So as the Sheikh Abdullah concluded by saying Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu thereafter. Inshallah ta'ala, what remains from what we discussed today is for us to speak inshallah in the future about the number of rak'ah in Salat al-Layl, in Salat and Qiyam al-Layl in Ramadan, and the difference amongst the scholars upon that, and also what has been narrated from the way of Umar or about Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, as well as the people of Medina, as well as the people of knowledge regarding this matter, the matter of the number of rak'at of Salat al-Layl or Qiyam al-Layl. And inshallah, we will answer the difference that came about between the obvious hadith or the meaning of the hadith for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which we know the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, in which she said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would never increase beyond 13 rak'ah, or sometimes another narration, 11 rak'ah in the night. Also, the speech of the Prophet alayhi wasallam, in which he mentioned the hadith that states the meaning of it, Salatul Layl or Salatul Qiyam is 2 by 2, to the end of the hadith. We're also going to discuss the statements and the actions of the people of Medina, as well as the rest of the companions and the Muslims after them, and how we ended up adding to the number of rak'at regarding this. So we would give you the solution to the argument that broke out regarding this issue, and clarify the matter bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, in which so many people have differed about regarding the month of Ramadan. And then inshallah in future classes, هذا وصلى الله على محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم. Anything that I said that's correct is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything that I said that is not correct is only from myself and or from the shaytan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. JazakAllah khair ya shaykh.
Allah yabarak fik, ma'a salam.
الله يسلمك. في أي تعقيب من الإخوة معك؟ في حاجة نسيناها؟ حاجة نصححها؟
نعم. لا لا.
طيب سلام.
لا إن شاء الله خير، ربنا يبارك فيه، تقبل الله، مع السلامة، الله يسلمك. أنا بس مع الشيخ عمرو بس في الطريق.
اللهم بارك.
يسلم عليك الشيخ عمرو.
الله يسلمك.
السلام عليكم.
السلام عليكم.